Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Perek Beis, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Chof Gimel, in the Mishnayim text that puts us at the bottom of page 50 and 51. Okay, does anybody else need a Rambam? We've got two more to go. Anybody else that we might have thought forgot about that they didn't get a Rambam yet? Yeah, he can look on with his dad. Okay, because in another day or two, we're going to send the rest back to Sforum Warehouse. Can, just this time we can.
What's his name from...
All right, we'll talk about it later.
Hall.
All right, whatever. Whatever you can think about. Okay, let's go ahead. Chav Gimel. Goyim. Now here's another... We're on a discussion of desecrating the Shabbos in order to save people's lives. So we're dealing with sickness and pile of avalanche falls on people and things like this. So now as another type of life and death issue, Goyim shetzoru ala yaros Yisrael, if the non-Jews lay siege on a Jewish city. Now it doesn't matter in Eretz Yisrael, out of Eretz Yisrael, they're laying siege on the city. So, and there's a great concern they might be sieging to kill us. So now, Rambam says, depends what they're coming for. If they're cutting because they want money, they want to collect taxes, want to extort the Jews for money, and it's only a money issue. So already know that we don't violate any mitzvahs of the Torah just because of money. You know, in theory, for example, if God forbid a person's house is burning down and his house is in the middle of a open area where it's not next to other houses, where other homes may be in danger, but if that's not so, and a fire starts in your house, you have to let your house burn down.
Are the homes in danger? Are the people in danger?
If there's only financial issues, only danger is your home will burn to the
ground. But if somebody else is in danger, then
That's why the case I said was it's not near any other house.
No, but if another house...
In your house
I'm saying if there's no problem of people, everyone's awake, everyone can run out the door. And
so
no
even if a neighboring house, if there's no one in it, then
I'm
it doesn't
not,
help.
I'm talking...
Sorry.
Don't try to make it hard on me.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to prove a point, okay? Just trying to prove a point that if no other issues exist... Okay, the only thing that's going to be lost is your $500,000 house. And that's all that will be lost. And there's no danger to any life. Then you're not allowed to desecrate the Shabbos for money. If you want to give away all your money and not desecrate a mitzvah. So the same thing over here. If we know for sure that the Goyim are laying siege on the city and it's only for money issues, you have to cough up lots of geld, then you have to cough it up. And that's it. So ain mechal leim aleim es haShabbos. You can't desecrate the Shabbos. Ve'nosim hem mechami. You don't do any wars with them because it's only a monetary issue and there's no leniency to save your money. However, the poskim bring down that nowadays, if they come for money issues, we would desecrate the Shabbos and we would go out to battle with them because whenever the non-Jew surrounds us, it's a great danger. They may be coming in for money, but once they come in for money, and then they go to the bar and buy drinks, and then they decide to kill people. So, you know, it usually doesn't end up being money. So therefore, even if it's for money, we say you can go to Mechal Shabbos and go out to battle with them, because it'll probably not only be money. Now, there's some other exceptions. Ubeir hasmucha lesefor. And let's say there's a city that's near a boundary city in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say a city near the Jordan River. And if that, they have a special status, as we'll see in a minute. Even if the goyim are coming just for the cheapest monetary issue, straw and hay, that's all. They want some straw issues, right? And they're laying siege for that. Then yoytzin aleihem bichlei zayin. Then you go out with them even with weapons of war against them. Even if they have not yet come, but we heard that they are going to come. We don't say, let's wait till tomorrow. But right away, if you think that there's a chance of an attack, you can preempt them on Shabbos. You prepare your weapons to stand up against them, to go against the enemy, because any delay by pushing this off will create a great danger. Now, why are we allowed to be Mechal and Shabbos? So he says, we go out against them, Mechal and Shabbos. And we desecrate the Shabbos. Now the reason for that is a boundary city has a special status. because the idea being, if the enemy is going to take a boundary city, that uses a gateway into the country, and you know, and they'll be able to conquer the rest of the land. And therefore, this halacha obviously has many aspects beyond just the Shabbos laws. As many great rabbis have said, that these are very relevant regarding any territorial issues between Jews and non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And if returning land would jeopardize the Jewish people, clearly you'd not be allowed to. But unfortunately, the Israeli government does not consult with rabbinic authorities, and they therefore do things that cause greater danger to the Jews. So, but pi halacha, you'd have to, you know, take that very much into consideration.
Rabbi, does it speak more to military defense on Shabbos?
What? For sure. Nice. That's what he's going to say in a minute, right? He's going to say it right now. For sure, you could do anything you need to do on Shabbos. Uvachol makom, and in any place, in Baal, Iske, Nefashis, if they're coming in terms of issues with life and death, Osha'orcha Melchom, or they're conducting some kind of war, Oshatzar Stam, or even if they lay siege on the Jewish people, Stam, meaning to say that they haven't declared their intention of why they're laying the siege. But still we have to go against them because we're not sure what's on their mind and could be bad things are in their mind. And they've already said if there's any doubt regarding human life on Shabbos, we don't take any chances. So Yotz in Aleim Bechlei Zayin, we go out with our artillery, Umachalim Aleim as Shabbos, and we desecrate the Shabbos. Umitzvah al kol Yisrael shiachol latzis v'lovel lazer lachem shebamatzor latzil miyada goyim v'shabbos. It's a mitzvah for all the Jews to go out and to help their brothers that are being laid siege upon and to save them from any goyim that are pending attacking of the Jewish people, and therefore we'd oblige every person to be even drafted and to be involved in protecting the city. Don't say, well, it's not my city, I don't have to worry. It's another Jew's in danger. You do what has to be done to take care of them. So there's a famous story in the Talmud that tells us that during the times that the Maccabees had their revolution against the Greeks once attacked the Jewish people on the Shabbos, and the people were not aware of this halacha, and therefore they were frum on a very bad cheshbon, and they refused to defend themselves, and a great massacre happened. And therefore the rabbi said they have to publicize this. Everyone should know that Shabbos gets pushed aside because of that. Now, there's another issue. Let's make sure we got all the things. Have we finished halacha? No, we have a little bit more to go. So, v'asur lahem lihismamea l'motzei Shabbos. You're not allowed to delay until Motzei Shabbos even. You can't say, well, we'll send our troops on Motzei Shabbos. That's why clearly when you saw on the Yom Kippur War that the soldiers had to go on Yom Kippur. Yeah. It's like no Shaila. You have to do that. You have to save yourself.
They had to go fast.
What?
They had to go fast.
Oh, yes. Okay. And when they saved their brothers, now the question is, so let's say they all go, 100,000 Jews from different cities, they come to this besieged city, they scare away the non-Jews run away, job well done. Now the question is, can the Jews who came from another city to defend the Jews, now when they come back home, can they schlep their weapons back with them? Because they don't really need their weapons now. So halacha is, ukashatzila sachem, when they save their brothers, mutalem lachsa b'chlei zayin shalhem limkom b'shabbos. They can return back with their weapons to their original homes on Shabbos. Why? Kidei shalo lahachshilam lasi lavo. To not cause them to stumble in the future. So what does that mean, to stumble in the future? One reason is because if they're not able to take their weapons back, guess, you know, can you imagine if they tell them, well, you know, you can't take your weapons back. So they're going to start figuring the next time they're going to go to help, I ain't going to take too many weapons because I'm going to have to leave too many behind. And, you know, that will not be well for the next time. You never know, they may have needed their weapons. As well, it could be if the non-Jews will catch wind of what this halacha would be, that the helping cities have to come back without their weapons, they'd be sitting ducks. If the goyim knew this halacha, and then they would kill them on their way home. And they tell a story like that, that they would say again, once the enemy saw that the Jews were returning without their arms. So they said that more Jews were killed in that confusion as they were scrambling for their weapons than, in fact, what the non-Jews killed the Jews in battle itself. And again, the rabbis, therefore, when they saw that happen, they publicized this idea to know what the correct halacha is. So we don't take any risks over here. If there's any issues, and there's all kinds of psak halachas given, that if there's any question of the Arabs taking land that would cause all kinds of problems, you know, right away, you do what you have to, even on Shabbos, to ensure that there's safety and security for the Jewish people. Yeah?
Would it not be feasible for them to hold their position until after Shabbos?
What do you mean, hold their position?
Not return, and not leave their weapons, but rather stay where they are until after Shabbos. And
then, well, maybe they have to go home. You know, 100,000 people, I can't imagine that the little city is going to have enough food for them to take care of them. And all the other things. And again, it's a similar halacha with doctors, for example. We know that a doctor is allowed to be mechalel Shabbos to go to the hospital to help a patient, and he's allowed to go back. He's allowed to go back. Why is he allowed to go back? Because if he's not allowed to go back, he ain't going to volunteer to go. Plain and simple. If he knows, he's going to make sure not to pick up that call.
You know,
he's just not going to do it. So, okay, you try to do it with a shinu, you take a bus. Get dropped off a few blocks away from the Jewish part of town, whatever. But clearly, he can go back. Because if you're not going to let him go back, he isn't going to go. So that's part of the job, as it were. Same thing here. It's no different than a doctor. These guys are going to save another person, another city's life. So if you're not going to let us go back, you know, then forget it. We're not going to come.
This doesn't apply, and you may have discussed this yesterday in my absence, but to a dad...
So it depends on a lot of issues over there. Sometimes when a husband takes a wife to the hospital and it's a false labor, the husband cannot drive back. Right. Depends on certain situations. Because he has no heter to go back. So, you know, it'd be a lot of other factors. You can't just say, it could be the wife is very nervous and maybe needs the husband. But in general, without further detail, the husband would be stuck.
Right.
The wife could go back because she's 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
She can't walk back.
No, yeah. She can stay there.
The hospitals won't let you stay. They won't let you stay. She can't stay in a pregnant lady 9 months.
Right.
Cannot stay in a waiting area for 12, 14 hours.
My wife was pregnant. We went to the hospital. Only for them, it wasn't on Shabbos, only for them to say, sorry, false alarm, go back. We were driving back up, and she says, it's happening again. Now, if I wasn't allowed to go with her, the second time was the real McCoy.
So the taxi driver would take her back.
You'd be there waiting for her.
You'd be there waiting.
You'd be there waiting for her.
The taxi driver would take her back.
I won't be around for them to be another.
You know, again, I'm saying you have to know, you know, every situation. Again, if your wife is extremely scared, she's extremely nervous, and that can cause all kinds of stress. That could be dangerous for a pregnant lady. So if somebody's got a mature wife, you know, she can go alone. But if the wife is a little less mature,
she's got an anxiety problem.
Well,
that's
an issue of maturity.
Some people,
anxiety. Right, so it's an anxiety problem, okay? Now everything has to be politically correct.
That's right.
Can't do anything, but it's just because I have anxiety.
That's right.
I can't cope, I can't get out of bed. But you're okay, you're normal, you just have anxiety.
That's right. We'll treat that.
No, you're not mature. That's the problem. But anyway, you know, it depends on the situation. But here, clearly, people know that they can't take their arms back. They can't go back. They're going to say, well, it's not my problem. That's all there is to it. Okay, another halacha now. Chav Dal. V'chein svina mitorefes bayam. A boat that is sinking in the ocean. A boat that is sinking in the ocean. What do you do? O'ir sheikifa karkom o'naha. Or a city that's being surrounded again. It's besieged. I don't know why the Rambam's adding this. The commentaries say that that they're sieged by another army, but the more relevant one is by a floating river.
Flooding.
There's a flood going on, you know, near New Orleans or whatever. So mitzvah latzeis b'shabbos latzilin b'chol dover shachol latzim. It's a mitzvah going on Shabbos in any way possible to save them. Now, the commentaries mentioned that this only applies, let's say there's a ship, let's say, we have to know that there are Jews on the ship.
there's no Jews.
If you don't know for sure, what would be the assumption? If you see a ship in the ocean, what should you assume? Most ships have non-Jews on the boat. And
so
therefore, we would,
liner,
okay, you know, but otherwise, we would assume it, you know, I would say 99% of most ships that are in the ocean are non-Jews there.
Correct.
So, you know, okay, say if you're off the coast, you know, and especially at Shabbos.
Right.
Okay, then again, there could be sometimes they left before Shabbos, but,
yeah, it could be
but if you don't know, and you just see a ship sinking, you don't do anything. You know it's a Jewish ship or a Jewish city or things like that. Even if only one Jew is on the ship, if you know this one Jew who has passage on it, it's Yonah's ship, you know, see, you have to save it. Even one Jew is being chased after Goyim. Or from a poisonous snake, a dove or a bear, shirodev achrav dorvev, chasing after to kill him. In all these cases, mitzvah lahatzilo, it's a mitzvah to save the fellow. However, if in saving this person, your life will become in danger, then you're not obliged to do it, because we have the principle that it says, and your brother shall live with you meaning to say, your life takes precedence over his. So if it's like a very, let's say you're seeing off the coast, and this guy gets sucked up by one of these,
tornadoes?
No.
Whirlpools.
You know, there's a word for undertow.
Yeah,
the undertow. And you know, those kinds of things, even Johnny Weissmuller can't, you know, remember Tarzan?
Yes, you're really dating yourself, and I am too, because I
only you know, even he couldn't save them, so you don't jump in to save him, because you're gonna probably get killed also. So it's gotta be in a way where there's not a danger to you. Okay, now you're to mitzvah to save him. Even if you have to do many different prohibited activities and Shabbos is permitted. Even to repair weapons is allowed. Okay, next point, but a similar idea. And you scream out for them. You plead for them on Shabbos. And at certain times, you even blow shofars for them. Lazor lahem, to help them. What's all this talking about over here? So, you know, there is a concept, the Rambam tells in Hilchos Tainus, that's a mitzvah to cry out to Hashem when there's very distressful situations to the community. Now, normally on Shabbos, that's not allowed. On Shabbos, you're not supposed to, you know, cry out and pray distressful things to Hashem. However, there's an exception made if there's like an immediate threat to human life, right? And that's on behalf of the entire community. So there can be, just like you can do that for a community, you can make that for a single individual as well. So if you hear one person just, got a brain aneurysm, chas v'shalom, you know, and they could just, you know, their lives are in extreme peril, you cry out to Hashem. And, the truth of the matter is, and that's basically what you're doing. You're pleading before Hashem. You're doing all these things you normally would do. Now, what's this thing about blowing the shofar? So even though that is part of asking mercy from Hashem, we blow shofars when we fast and do things like that. Really, you don't do it on Shabbos, because that would be a Isser D'Rabbanan of playing an instrument, which is not good on Shabbos. But if the intent of blowing the trumpets is to alert people in the area to take part of the prayers, then we would allow that to happen and the rabbinic prohibition goes off. So basically, the halacha that comes out of this is that you are allowed to, normally we don't say Tehillim, we don't say, you know, prayer vigils and things like that. But if it's mamish, a serious emergency, then again, that's pikuach nefesh. See that? Remen, so what do you see? Hold on. What do you see from this? You see that prayer is a powerful force. Prayer is no less important than calling the doctor. In other words, you do both. You know, you call the doctor. The doctor is one of the means to heal the person. But prayer is definitely a means of prayer, of healing a person. And even if it's the kind of prayer that's not in the spirit of Shabbos, because you don't talk about depressing things and sad things on Shabbos. But we know that prayer is a very effective thing. So therefore, even if it's Shabbos, We do that. I remember once in the yeshiva, one of the yeshivas was, and Taka passed away, was very, very sick, and we said to him on Shabbos. It was before, I think right before Shabbos, I remember. I remember it was, and it was unusual. We never, ever did it. Never. He was dying, so he said tell him for him. Then I think he passed away the next day or whatever. So you see that it's done. Yeah.
So is this why, I think it's probably over a year ago, Rabbi said for a Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos, we should only use names for critically ill people?
I mean, the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos, really, we shouldn't make.
But
it's a concession to avoid revolution.
I mean, really,
you shouldn't. But you know, but people, there's many people who only come to shul on Shabbos, and if you're not gonna make a Mishnah Berurah, they're gonna go to the conservative shul, and they're gonna shmad themselves and whatever. So I mean, okay, so you know what? You know, it's a concession. That's why we change the nusach. We say Shabbos he milizok, and on Shabbos we're not allowed to scream out. So the Mishnah Berurah is not done in a screaming out fashion, as it were. So it's more of a concession to keep shalom amongst the people, but it really is not the optimal thing to do. So that's why, okay, if you do it already, it should be like seriously ill people. Like that already conforms more to the Rambam. Like the person is eminently dying. Not that they just have, you know, long-term cancer or you know, whatever. But, you know, you just heard someone got hit by a car, or they just came out of open-heart surgery minutes before Shabbos. Okay, so their life is in great danger for the first 24 hours, whatever. Okay, that's very serious, okay? Okay, that's what it really is there for. Okay, so we know people are putting in names from, you know, 2.5 years ago, they're still sick, you know? Like, what are you gonna do? Say no. It's make the announcement, and, you know, so certain things, you just gotta keep the peace, and that's all.
We see the prayer with the state of Israel for Zahal.
Well, that's just Stam Mishnah Berurah. We're not crying out. Mishnah Berurah. Who you? Hashem should bless him. It's not very specific. What about Mishnah Berurah for an Aliyah?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Mishnah Berurah. Who you varech is so and so. Bless him. Why? But for Shalal Aliyah Satori, he had an Aliyah. Give him a bracha. The bracha is already vague. You know, it's a vague bracha. You know, bracha, he should be spiritual. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Right? Okay, so we bless the Savior of Israel that God should give them the brains to do the right thing. You know, that's a spiritual.
But isn't it the same as asking for like one of the requests that we ask on a regular weekish Monday?
Again, so it's sort of like the Mishnah Berurah for the sick person, and the government is definitely a chaylish sheish for sakana. It's definitely. There's so sakana there. It's incredible. So you make a Mishnah Berurah for him. You know, that's all. It's again. You know, in the yeshivas, we didn't do it. We didn't do the yeshiva. It's up to me, I wouldn't do it, but I know I'd have a revolution if I didn't do it, so. And the whole thing, the whole blessing of Savior Israel is so unusual. Like, people stand up for it. Really, there's no reason to stand up for it. Nobody stands up for Mishnah Berurah for a sick person. You know, I'm just saying. This whole idea. You know, people stand. What are you standing for? Like, what are you standing for? You never stand for any other Mishnah Berurah. You know, it's all part of that. It's part of the karma, you know, like, you know, it's like, oh, it's serious, you know, and nothing else was serious till now, you know.
Just tell me what to do.
No, I'm not telling you what to do, Mark. I just know if we don't do it, people are going to think we hate Israel. I mean, like,
they won't stand for it.
Yeah, that's right. So what can you do? Certain things, it just doesn't pay to fight, you know, it's just. You know, it's better not, you know, is it the best? It's not the best. Is it terrible? It's not terrible. So it's better to keep people at peace. Okay, let's finish up. Where are we up to now? Umasrin, no, we didn't finish 24. Umasrin, Aleim, Lazar, some, and we even blow the shofar to help them. But, interestingly, if there's a plague in the city, we don't supplicate and scream out on the Shabbos. Why? Because it seems that, you know, the crying out and screaming out causes your body to go, you know, the whole idea of crying and screaming causes all kinds of changes in your body. So if it's because an enemy is attacking or something, okay, we say the prayers, but if you're ready, a lot of people are sick from a plague, that could make the plague worse.
Like
crying out
together,
and screaming out and getting together, all these things can probably make people sicker. So therefore, we don't do that. Not because of Hilchos Shabbos, just so we don't think it'll work as well.
Haven't we also learned, I think, haven't you also taught that a plague is one of those things that is a ratzon of Hashem, so why would you be calling out against it?
Hmm. Well, but everything's the ratzon Hashem, and if the enemies are attacking, it's also the ratzon Hashem. So, but the ratzon Hashem is we have to daven also. That's the ratzon Hashem to daven too.
It's different than streaming out.
But here it'll make people worse. Make them physically worse, so we don't want to make anybody physically worse. Okay, let's just do the last one to finish up the parak. Kafei. Now, let's reverse it now. Now we're gonna, instead of us defending ourselves by being surrounded, now let's start surrounding the goyim a little bit. Kafei. Now, what if you go to war, Jews go to war, you know, we go on the offensive too sometimes. You know, so now there are times when we will have to lay siege on a goyish city. So now if you're laying siege on a goyish city, there's different halachas involved in that. So tsarin ala ayaris of the chavim. Now when you're laying siege, you're not going to battle that minute. Laying siege, you can be there for weeks, right? So when are you allowed to lay siege? What day of the week? So you're allowed to lay siege on a goyish city, shloisha yomim koidim l'shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos. And in other words, from 3 days and before Shabbos and earlier,
right,
but not less than 3 days before Shabbos.
Isn't it
the same with a boat? Yeah, so a lot of halachas like that. Why? So that the soldiers can be settled by the time Shabbos comes. In other words, when you're laying siege, you know, you're starting to get nervous and you're thinking about, you know, what's going on. The first day or two, your mind is on the siege. It's not going to be on Shabbos. So if you lay siege 3 days before, so the first day or two, you're focused on the siege. By the time Shabbos is, you say, okay, everything's already prepared. We got the sentries in the right place, and we've done this and done that, cut the water supply off, whatever. And now we can just have Shabbos regular and won't disturb the Shabbos. But you can make battle, war, b'chol yom v'yom, any day. V'afil v'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, at shekayv shenasai, until you conquer them. Even though it's a melchemes rishus, you know, there's two types of wars. There's a melchemes rishus, which is an optional war. Let's say the Jews want to expand their borders for economic reasons, which is necessary. So they can do that. That's optional. Versus the melchemes mitzvah, which is an obligatory mitzvah of destroying the Canaanites, destroying Amalek, or defending yourself if you're attacked. So we're saying even a melchemes rishus can be conducted on Shabbos. Now, I don't necessarily, you know, necessarily maybe launch such a war on Shabbos, but you can't time to determine how long a war will take. And obviously, the war could take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So.
Is that what happened in Gaza? Was it on Shabbos?
Okay, so you have to know, was it Rishus? Is it Mitzvah? It depends. I mean, Gaza would be more in the category of mitzvah, not rishus.
Yeah.
They're not attacking Gaza to help their economy. They're attacking Gaza only to protect Jews. It's life and death issues. That's more melchemes mitzvah. Even though the government doesn't even know they're doing a mitzvah, but it is a melchemes mitzvah. A soldier, a frum soldier has to know he is involved in a melchemes mitzvah. And that's why you are allowed to start attacks on Shabbos. That's why the arrangement that they usually have with the government, they usually have is like not to do non-essential things on Shabbos. Like maneuvers or things like that. Usually they will not make them do it on Shabbos. If you see planes flying on Shabbos, then you know something serious. You know, cause they don't stop, just do maneuvers on Shabbos. So if they're going on Shabbos, sometimes they need the element of surprises by attacking on Shabbos. So you have to attack on Shabbos. We'll see a historic case in just a moment. And the rabbis deduced this from a pasuk. Again, that was the story with the Chashmonaim I mentioned before, where the pasuk over there says that you have to lay siege on the city, and you make war with them, ad rideto, until you have subjugated them. So that means whatever it takes to subjugate them, fa'afil v'Shabbos, even if it's Shabbos, to subjugate them. Vein Tzarech Lomer goes without saying, p'milchemes mitzvah, for doing a milchemes mitzvah, certainly it's an issue, you can even do it on Shabbos. And, okay. What?
He talks about Yericho and Shabbos.
Oh, and the final thing he says, and he'll give the biggest proof of all. V'lo kavash Yeshua Yericho, el b'Shabbos. When did the great battle of Yericho happen? It happened on Shabbos. And there they had all day, they could have picked any day of the week they wanted. But that was the first Melchemes Mitzvah. Okay, why did it on Shabbos? Because the whole idea was to show you that it wasn't their koach that won the battle. It was Hashem's koach that won the battle. And it was sanctified, this and that. But the fact that the very first battle the Jews ever fought was on a Shabbos clearly indicates that we can waive the restrictions of Shabbos when it comes to battle.